Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Rockets have found a groove and won their fifth straight game. James Harden and Russell Westbrook dismantled the Grizzlies last night in their 140-112 win. Harden had 30 points and Westbrook had a game-high 33. And after the game, though, all the talk was about their defense. Harden said the Rockets are finally figuring it out defensively, and that will be the key to winning a title. So, Skip, on a scale of 1 to 10, yep, what shot do you give the Rockets to win the West?
You can laugh if you want. I am all the way up to a 5, which is pretty high.
Okay.
I'm getting up in that 50-50 range,
okay,
because I am getting more intrigued by the night.
Okay.
The Rockets, right before your eyes, are launching, or maybe I should say relaunching, post-Capella trade. And to me, what is happening between Russell Westbrook and James Harden is all-time amazing, because I had some doubt about it. Now I have none. They are working together. They are clicking. They are vibing. They are catalyzing right before your very eyes, against all odds, because these are the two most ball-dominant players of their whole era. If you just look back at usage rate, how much the ball's been in your hands, just remember this. Russ led this whole league in usage rate in 2014, 15, 16, and 17, and James Harden led in usage rate in 18 and 19. And you're telling me, wait a minute, fire and water are going to go to... No, yes, they are.
They've done a great job thus far.
They are two legit childhood friends, mm-hmm, who appear to me to truly love each other to the point they're willing to sacrifice at this stage of their careers for the one thing neither has, a championship. They have every individual kind of accolade,
yep,
you could ever want.
Yep.
We're about to talk to Mark Anthony Green on this show. He is the interviewer extraordinaire who's done so many big superstar cover stories for GQ, and he's got a new one. Cover story, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. Later in the piece, which we'll discuss, Russell Westbrook says, we have everything individually. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, we have more things individually than anybody in this league has. Well, LeBron has played 9 finals, and he does have
three
MVPs.
Well, 4 regular season, 3
right,
finals.
Okay, 4 regular season MVPs. But what Russell is talking about is, in effect, I led this league in triple doubles. I mean, I had 3 straight triple doubles. Oscar had 1, yeah,
yeah,
for the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody's ever done that.
Right.
And James Harden just revolutionized how offensive basketball is played, and most of us agree, oh, yeah, he's the greatest offensive player ever. I still would go Michael Jordan,
right,
just on power and guts and
right,
will. But still, he invented a shot nobody had ever seen before, and I thought it was walking,
yep,
and now everybody does it, the step back.
Everybody added the step back. You
right?
see Jason Tatum, you see LeBron, everybody's doing
last
it.
Last night I'm watching Luka destroy my Spurs, and all he does is shoot step back 3.
That's it.
Because you don't need to jump, you can just step back and shoot it. You
yep.
don't have to shoot a jump shot, it's a set shot,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have done those things individually, but they have no championship,
right,
and they're willing to sacrifice. But something is happening right before your very eyes. The Rockets are slowly becoming Russell Westbrook's team. They got rid of their center so that Russ has now a super highway to the basket.
Yep.
And he's on it. Because if you look at the whole year in usage rate for the league, the whole year together, Harden is still third in the league and Russ is fifth. Mm-hmm. So they both sacrifice some from one to go right. down. Since the Capella trade, that's eight games, all of a sudden James has fallen to ninth in usage rate while Russ has risen to second. Mm-hmm. Russ is taking over games. Russ took 24 shots last night against Memphis to only 16 for James Harden. And James seems totally fine with it.
Yes.
Is James still probably going to lead this league in scoring? Probably.
Absolutely.
Probably. I mean, unless he falls off the tree somehow. But yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. So, to me, remember what the owner, Fertitta, said last week. He made a strong case that none of us, those looking up at the Lakers, Clippers, Denver, none of us fear the Lakers, Clippers, or Denver the way we did Golden State. Well, they don't. No. They just don't. So the Rockets are looking at it like, yeah, we can go small, and we still have a shot because we have two of the greatest forces mm-hmm. we've ever seen.
Right.
Nobody's ever played harder right. than Russell Westbrook.
Right. Because if they did advantage, Skipper, you make a compelling point when you gave them a five, is that the thing that they're forcing teams to do, because when D'Antoni says, we're going to play this small lineup, we're going to force you to blink before we do. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what he means by that, you might start two bigs, but before long, guess what? You're going to be playing eye height. You're going to be playing 6'6 guys where we have a decided mm-hmm. advantage. What Golden State could do, okay, play small. Who are you going to deal with? Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And so now we bring in Iggy. We could take Looney or we could take a big off the floor. Okay, we'll play with you like that. Mm-hmm. And Draymond, because this is what they did all the time. They're playing what Golden State did for years. Draymond was the five at 6'7", 6'6". And so then they put, and obviously they had KD, but KD wasn't the five. Draymond was the five.
Yep.
Skip, I'm going to give it a three, but I will concede this. I didn't think this thing was going to work once they got rid of Capella, it might work in the regular season. But you know one thing, Kawhi coined a phrase last year, said, board man get paid. Mm-hmm. If you don't get rebounds in the regular postseason, you're going home.
Okay.
I'm looking at the Memphis game last night, Skip. The only advantage that they have is they have 7 foot tall Valanciunas. Well, they got him shooting jumpers. You got 6 foot five, PJ Tucker mm-hmm. playing him at his back.
They did.
And y'all jacking up threes like them. And the next thing you know, they take him out the court. And so now we're a level playing field because all of your guys are 6 foot seven. Mm-hmm. What Russ is doing, the reason why Russ is getting off more shots, Skip, he gets the ball, he gone. He anyway, hey, don't even worry about, hey, y'all can stay back there if you want to. Skip, he going to the bucket. He cut down on all shooting all those threes. He's hitting that mid-range game.
Stopped shooting threes.
He did.
He gave in on a team that only shoots threes and said, you know what? Not my strength.
Right. Yeah. Everybody else, I mean, Covington, everybody else, Tucker, House, all you guys, McLemore, y'all shoot the threes.
Yep.
Me, I'm driving to the back. Either I'm getting a 15-footer or I'm getting to the rack. Skip, I mean, there are times, right? Let me look at this. It's a 1-on-2 to the basket. 1-on-3 to the basket. And he's finishing every play. Mm-hmm. And when a misses comes off, he's battling 6'6" guys for the rebound tipping to get in. But Skip, I'm going to say it's a 3. Because I believe that what's going to hurt them, the Lakers are big. And I believe they'll punish them down low. I believe the Clippers. Now, they match up really well with the Clippers. For whatever reason, they seem to have a Clippers number.
They do.
The Nuggets will give them problems because Jokic, you're not putting P.J. Tucker on Jokic at the end of the ball. Because he's going to go down. He's going to punish you, Skip.
Okay, but conversely, Jokic is going to have a hard time on the other end.
I put him on P.J. Tucker. Because P.J. Tucker's not going to put the ball on the floor and try to get around you.
He can shoot corner threes.
Yes.
You're going to have to get out there and get a hand up, and it's going to take you out of the center of attention.
You know what? I want P.J. Tucker to lead the team in scoring.
Yeah.
Because I know if you let Russ get 30, you let James Harden get 30, what's happening, Skip, both of these guys are getting 30. That's the problem that you're having, because you remember when the Lakers, they played the Lakers. Russ went for 40. James had an off night, but Russ got it going.
Got it going.
And now you're in trouble. You better let somebody else beat you.
In fact, my friend Tim Legler at ESPN said last night, Russell Westbrook is playing the best basketball of his career
right now. I can agree with that.
Okay, that's a mouthful. Yes. I love Tim. And he's a smart guy. That's a mouthful.
Nothing seems forced. Woo. Skip, there are times that he was getting no triple doubles. He was forcing shots. He was jacking up unnecessary threes. Now he's going to the basket. He's shooting that mid-range. He'll drop it off because what he have, like 8 or 9 assists last night.
Yep, he did.
So he's playing phenomenal. James Harden is like, I'm looking up and I'm like, it seems like James Harden just made another three. And the next thing you know, Skip, he's 5 or 8. And that's what happens. Now, for me, they beat the Lakers by shooting threes because they made 19 of them. Now, if you all bets are off, they're going to make those kind of threes
totally
in the playoffs.
Agree.
They're all bets
off. It's not going to happen every playoff game.
Right. But I believe big team, the Lakers, which are huge, will punish them down low. I get it. You know, you still got AD and LeBron. Mm-hmm. And LeBron probably, Skip, mm-hmm. is going to have to play a lot more out of the post. Mm-hmm. To punish P.J. Tucker, because they normally put P.J. Tucker on him.
Good. I'll give you that. LeBron's going to have a big advantage.
Yes.
And he's going to have to take advantage
of it. A.D.'s going to have a big advantage.
Maybe. Maybe not as big as LeBron.
Well, who's going to play A.D.?
Play somebody smaller. Okay, remember, if need be, they have Tyson Chandler sitting there on the bench. You can do it if you need in stretches to bother somebody.
Right.
Okay? So what did they all rave about after the game last night? They jumped ahead at halftime 73-34 on Memphis.
It was about 40 to 40. They had another Clippers
Nothing
game.
Nothing like that. I agree. They all talked about, for the first time maybe in their lives, their defense. Mm-hmm. James was talking. We're finally getting there defensively, and that's what it's going to take for us to win games. Defensive end, commitment. They're scrappy on defense because Russell and James can be nasty, scrappy,
get a lot
shrewd
of steals.
Defender with their hands. Mm-hmm. They're all over everywhere deflecting balls and disrupting. And last night, I watched the whole first half, and I was in awe of how hard they were all playing on defense, maybe ignited by Robert Covington, who's been first team all defense in the past, and they added him.
Right.
And Jeff Green will come off the bench, and he will get up in
you,
right?
He had some big shots last night also.
Yeah, and so did Austin Rivers. Boy, he was just cooking last night.
He was.
9 of 12 and 4 of 7 from 3, and McLemore shoots threes like crazy. Mm-hmm. That they have a very interesting mix of players. One big one way down at the end of the bench, but to me, again, have I ever trusted Russell and James in huge playoff games? I have not.
Right.
But we'll get to this when Mark Anthony Green joins us from GQ. There was one other great quote in there. Mm-hmm. James said that on the court, I stay in my box, meaning within my own emotions, because he shows none.
Nothing bothers me.
Nothing bothers me.
They doing all that talking and
so
carrying on.
He just ignores. It's like he's aloof. He's just above it all.
Yeah.
And yet, Russell said, I tend to lose it.
I stay out of my box.
Yeah, he stays out of his box. But the fire and the ice tend to mix, and they're good for each other because Russ has brought a little bit more out of James, but James will lead Russ. Remember when he ran up to him and said, use your head, right?
Because think about it, Skip. Last night, Russ got another tech.
He got another
because he's
out of nowhere.
Every time he's doing this or he's doing that, he's staring at the guy, and it's like, but that's him.
That's him.
That's him.
Okay. Somehow it's working in the weirdest, craziest, all-time, sort of intriguing way I've ever seen. Because I don't know if we've ever had two stars of the same ilk blend like this and make a team viable.
Right.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
Given their history, I love it. It's such a great article, which we will get into. But it is interesting just how far back they go. They will face the Celtics tomorrow.
That's going to be interesting.
Because
like D'Antoni says, they're forcing teams to blink first. They might start with a center, and the next thing you know, Valanciunas is on the bench, and they're playing their style of ball. And that's what team – because remember, Skip, they thought they could beat Golden State playing their style of ball. Well, we're going to shoot threes, and we're going to play yada, 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 and we're going to punish them inside with Capella.
Yep.
So I guess Murray thinks now that, you know what, maybe if we didn't have Capella all those years and we had a situation like this, we might could have.
I just think they have a better chance this way than that way.
Right.
Maybe it's still a small chance, but I give him a shot.
I'm surprised it's working this well. I thought CP3, but it seems like CP3 is happier in OKC.
Easy.
And Russ is doing unbelievable issues. No
mercy. Breaking news. this morning has reports that there is a buzz around the NFL Combine that Brady will indeed leave New England this offseason. Yesterday, it was reported that the Giants could pursue the 42-year-old QB. And on Tuesday, former Patriots assistant and new Giants head coach Joe Judge said the best players will play for his team, and he does not care how old or young his players are. He only cares if they can contribute. Shannon, could you see Brady heading to the Giants?
No, but this news that we're hearing, I think Jeff Darlington reported, like, he would be stunned if he returned. I think The Athletic had some guy was reporting it also, that the buzz, as Jenny read,
it's
about
the reporter who covers the Raiders.
Right.
He's hearing big buzz that Tom Brady's gone.
Right.
Something. He's moving.
Right. You and I just been talking about that since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So it's not earth-shattering news to us.
Nope.
People just thought we were crazy just trying to create a story.
We've been talking about it for months.
Yes. And but, Skip, for me, it doesn't make any sense to me because, look, they have okay weapons. I like Slayton. I think Darius Slayton is his name, or one wide receiver.
Yeah,
they have Golden Tate. They have Evan Engram, Sterling Shepard. But that offensive line is terrible.
It's terrible.
Why would he got beat up last year. Why would he go to a place, the one thing I'm going to want, I want weapons, but I need some protection so I can throw the ball to those weapons.
Yep.
That makes no sense to me, Skip. We got to stop this notion. Oh, we really like him to come to our team, so let's throw that out there. Well, hell, since everybody throw it, let him come to the Broncos. Nah, we good with Drew Locke. Locke got that thing locked up. We don't need it.
If you had
wait a second. Drew Locke. Tom Brady. Drew Locke, Tom Brady, Drew Locke.
Drew Locke got that thing locked up. Clack, clack.
Is he?
Yep. Lock it up.
I don't find it.
And plus, we building for something. We ain't finna get rid of no 22-year-old for a 43-year-old. Where they do that at?
Even if I told you you could win next year's Super Bowl?
Okay, Drew. You'll be okay sitting on the
floor. Okay, fine.
But Skip, that's the thing. You know, I just don't see it. Oh, well, Joe Judge is there. Skip, how much contact, talking to do you think Tom Brady did with Joe Judge, who is a receivers coach, and I think at one point in time he was the sports special teams coordinator. Yeah. Come on, man, stop this. Tom Brady is, look, when Peyton came out, and I know Peyton very well, they're only a handful of teams. Peyton talked to the 49ers. He talked to the Broncos. He talked to the Titans. He talked to the Cardinals. Now, the Titans had the most appealing because they could give him something I don't think any of the other teams offer him part ownership. Offer him, as soon as you're done, you get a media GM role or whatever you want. But he chose the Broncos because they had a nice offensive line that we got Vasquez at guard. They had a true left tackle in Ryan Clady and the weapons. We know about that. Plus, Skip, they went to the playoff the year before. He got there and won a playoff game.
I did.
And he's like,
Tim Tebow.
Yeah. There you go.
You brought it up.
No, I didn't break up anything. I just said they won a playoff game. I didn't mention
thanks
the quarterback.
To Tim Tebow.
So, Skip, look, I don't see the Giants doing it. Skip, they just took a quarterback with the sixth pick in the draft. They got rid of the guy that won them two Super Bowls. Well, they didn't get, he retired. But the writing was on the wall. You're not going to start. If you want to stay here to be a backup, and he didn't want to be a backup. So I don't see this happening. It's pie in the, you know, Skip, it's pie in the sky. And I don't even know what, it's probably rhubarb pie, because it ain't no kind of pie anybody's going to eat.
Mm. So, back to the Giants first. The New York Giants would offer Tom Brady one thing and one thing only. New York City.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is a New York City kind of guy. His wife is a New York
Skip, if I'm
kind
not mistaken, that Skip, he got his house on the market, but he does have a place. I don't know if it's in Chelsea or if it's in Soho. He does have a place there.
I thought it was in Westchester, but he might have both. They used to have a place in Chelsea.
Chelsea, yeah, because Jay-Z and who else, the actor? I forget his name.
Chelsea's in Manhattan and Westchester's
Okay.
De Niro. De Niro.
Oh, De Niro.
I got it. So, arguably, you might want to get a place closer to New Jersey to where the practice facility is or to the stadium.
Right.
But whatever, they can afford it.
Right.
So that would be the only appeal to New York City, to the Giants would be New York City.
Right.
Because the team is not good enough.
No,
just not
even close.
Enough. Nope. And Dave Gettleman, I know he's done some good things in this league. He always comes off a little goofy to me. And I'm not sure that Tom would want to join forces with that.
Right.
And finally, you look at what's the legacy there. The legacy is that Eli beat him twice in Super Bowls.
Right.
So would he want to try to fill Eli's shoes? You know, like it's the wrong fit.
Right.
And it would come across like, Well, Tom, if you couldn't beat him, you finally joined him, right?
Yes.
That's not Tom Brady's M.O. He has too much pride for that, and he wouldn't want to. What if he went and they missed the playoffs next year and people said, well, Eli could have done better than this, right?
You know that's going to happen.
Right? Okay. So now back to my big picture point. What this continues to fuel is what I continue to tell you, that if, in fact, Tom Brady hits the open market, I'm talking about the open market on March the 18th.
Well, he's hitting it.
At 4 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
It is going to be chaos. It will be hysteria. It will be the sky is falling all around the league because it still, for me, is like Michael Jordan becoming a free agent after winning the championship in 1998 in Chicago.
Right.
He's at the end of his prime, but still barely inside his prime. And I still believe Tom Brady can take a good team to a championship.
But see, the thing is, you're thinking rational and Tom Brady, but all these teams like, ooh, Tom Brady's a free agent. Look, there's only a handful of teams that have a realistic chance of signing him. Just because he's free, Skip, that doesn't mean the other 30, you know, obviously, you know, Seattle and Green Bay, there are certain teams that's not going to be interested. Mm-hmm. But there's not going to be 25 teams that have a realistic chance. I believe there are probably no more than 3-4 teams that have a realistic chance.
But how many do you think will try?
At least try.
A whole bunch. Maybe more than half the teams will at least attempt to say, hey, they might even try to outbid for him, right?
Well, Skip, you know a lot of teams tried to get in contact with Tom Condon, who was the agent of Peyton Manning. You know that, but he whittled it down very, very, very early. Mm-hmm.
Except Peyton had an injury ring hanging over him that was huge.
Yes.
Because he had to get fusion at the top of his spine, right?
He missed an entire season.
So there was a whole injury risk question.
And still,
will he ever be Peyton again?
And that's the thing, Skip. Tom Brady does not have an injury history. He is just going to be 43 at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. They really didn't know what they were going to get. I mean, the Broncos gave him the most money in the NFL, and he could only throw the ball 10 yards.
That is correct. Yeah. Okay, so you don't have that risk going here.
No!
Tom got beat up last year because his offensive line wasn't very good and he didn't have any receiver he could separate.
But we believe he could throw the ball farther than 10 yards.
He can throw it farther than 10 yards, and we believe he's relatively healthy.
Yes!
And we believe that he's kind of reinvented the way to create longevity at that position.
Correct.
And if you can get rid of the ball quickly, you can stay relatively healthy.
Correct.
And I don't know if pliability works, but it does for him.
That's all that matters.
He believes it.
That's it.
Right? And I don't know if his diet works, but it works for him.
Correct.
Right? I don't know if avocado ice cream is the answer, but it is for Tom Brady. And he looks to me, his arm strength did not diminish last year. His quickness of release did not diminish last year. So all of a sudden, with the wealth of knowledge, the all-time wealth in his brain, if you could get him for a reasonable price, because I don't think he's going to demand huge money.
He's
not out to break any banks.
You don't think he won't at least 30 mil?
30, okay. But what if in the perfect situation, I don't know, again, Cowboys, Chargers, 49ers, that they all could say, let's go Tom Brady for 2 years because we're on the verge. And Tom could say, you know what? You are on the verge, and I believe let's do my hometown team, the 49ers. Would you cut bait with Jimmy G? You'd probably wind back up with Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Would you cut bait and let me come here and try to win 2 championships for you? Yes, we would do that. Well, he might say, I'll take $20 million. It's not like he needs the money, right?
Yeah. That's what people like, you know, I don't need any more money. I don't need any less either. Skip, it's easy to say. Obviously, it makes his job a lot easier when you have a wife that's worth an estimated $400 million and brings in about $30 million herself for a year. I don't see him, like I said, I believe there's a handful of team. I believe, like I said, a handful.
Well, you're probably right, but there's going to be way more than a handful.
Oh, yeah.
Just try to offer him $45 million.
Skip, it was like when KD. Now, you and I, when KD was a free agent last year, even with the Achilles injury, everybody lined up to try to sign KD.
Yes.
But we already knew there were only a handful of teams. Knicks, Nets.
Like it's reported, Tampa Bay would love to get Tom Brady.
Yeah, they would. I bet you would.
And they're not a bad team.
Yes.
They'd be okay. Okay.
Yes.
But for what price? If they said, we'll give you $50 million a year, would he think about it? I doubt it.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, Skip, it's not about money with Tom.
Yeah.
If you are correct, believe he has a year to 2 years left, it's about how soon can he get to and win a title. Because he's on the clock. You and I know this, and he knows it, and the other guy that's the coach of the place that he looks like he's about to leave,
yep,
they're in a race. And the race is who can get to Lombardi first. Yeah.
That's it.
End of story. Ain't about no money. Nope. Somebody can offer him $100 million. But if you don't give me a chance to beat Coach Belichick to that destination, what good is it?
Right. And so Tom is thinking, I got to maximize my ability
Absolutely.
To win next year's championship.
Yes.
While watching Bill Belichick maybe try to win with Jared Stidham.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And good luck.
Yep. That's it. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that matters.
No mercy.
Jason Tatum led the Celtics to a 114-103 win versus the Jazz last night. Tatum had 33 points and 11 rebounds in the win. It's the third straight game that Tatum has scored at least 30 points while shooting 60% or better. The Celtics have now won 11 of their last 13 and are only one game back of the 2 seed in the East. Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes back with us this morning. So good to have you.
Thank you for joining us. So, in your opinion, what shot do you give Tatum of leading the Celtics to the Eastern Conference title?
Okay. I give them, they have a legitimate shot. Okay. I would say, if I'm talking 1 through 10, I'll give them a 7.
Really?
That's pretty high. And the reason I give them a 7 is I think they're the only team that I really believe will give the Milwaukee Bucks a serious threat to represent the East in the finals. But the way Jason Tatum is playing right now, this is why he's such a scary prospect for a lot of guys out there on the court. I was talking with C.J. McCollum a couple days ago, and he was talking about one of the things that first stood out when he saw Tatum up close was how tall and long he is.
Really?
He's really a guard. But he's 6'9", 6'10", long arms, and
they list him at 8. But
this is my 8.
Oh, really?
He's long.
He's real long, yeah. And I think that's probably has some stuff to it. But I will say this about Tatum. Like, everybody around the league, when you're talking to star players, they say, man, he has the most star potential out there, out of young prospects. We haven't even seen his full potential. He was playing, the first year he's playing, it wasn't the first year, but Kyrie was kind of, lost in the shuffle, couldn't figure out his way. And I remember that playoff game he had when he dunked on LeBron James right there. I believe that was his rookie year.
It was.
Rookie year. And he was just a sign of promise. I think he yelled at LeBron and kind of bumped him after that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he got a little swag to him, So I think right now, if they continue to feed him, my only concern is that when Kemba Walker
comes back,
how is that going to work with him? Because he struggled when he had Kyrie, when he had to share that ball. Now he's being his own. But as of right now, he's looking good. And so I'm interested to see how he plays when the whole team is around.
I don't give them much of a chance of beating Milwaukee. Skip, Milwaukee is just, they're the number 3 offensive rating. They have the number 1 defensive rating. Skip, they're on pace to have the 4th best point differential in the history. Now, we talk about better than the Golden State Warriors with KD. Their point differential is better to be that. He has his second sidekick, and we don't think much of Chris Middleton, but Chris Middleton can play. He can really play, Skip. I mean, and when we talk about their Robbins, he never gets mentioned, but he's an all-star, 2-time all-star. So he can really play. Jason Tatum, we saw this. If you remember his rookie year when Kyrie went down, he took off and went to game 7 against the Cavs. Last year, Kyrie comes back. He lost up in the shuffle because no one really knows their role. Kyrie got the ball. He'll pass it whenever he wants to. They removed Kyrie from the equation. Even with Kemba, who's a better fit, you see, now I see. Kemba goes down. Oh, now I really, really see what everybody saw. Now I guess Magic probably looking like, damn, Lonzo, Jason Tatum. But you had Ink B.I. So do you really want 2 of the same people? Because that's what they are. Yeah, because Paul George and Kawhi are the same people, Skip. You can find a way. If you get that kind of talent, Skip, you should find a way to make it work. Skip, and that's the only thing. I just think nobody has seemed to have found an answer for Giannis. And even when you hold him down, he ends up with 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 8 assists. If you don't hold him down, he ends up with 33 points, 18 rebounds, and 4 assists. I just don't think they have a... It can, and every time I think, okay, Boston, Man, Skip, I watched Toronto. They're not going anywhere. Nick Nurse has them playing. Pascal Siakam has been unbelievable. Kyle Lowry. They throw a lot of different people at you, Skip, and just when I thought, and they play Milwaukee tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Maybe they got the blueprint, but they play Milwaukee tough. They force Giannis to shoot his worst field goal percentage when they play him. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting them see them fight it out, but I don't believe the Boston Celtics, I don't believe anybody can unseat the Bucks right now.
So my friend Chris Haynes made a very astute point to start off with. It's very interesting. When Kyrie was there, Jason Tatum wasn't. Mm-hmm. He hung back. He was a little pouty to me. He couldn't find his place. And to your point, Kim has been out for a while. And the best game I ever saw Jason Tatum play was Sunday at Staples mm-hmm. because he was just going 1-on-3. After a while, Vogel's just saying, just go get him. Yeah. They're just sending the everybody at him. Seriously, sometimes in the second half, three Lakers were chasing him, and he would still score.
Make him give it up.
It was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. He's another young man who was mentored and coached by Kobe Bryant. I believe he's inspired by mm-hmm. Kobe, and I think he was really inspired on Sunday at Staples
yep.
by the memory of Kobe no. Bryant. He is emerging as a superstar yeah. on both ends of the court. Mm-hmm. He can defend at a high level. They're interesting because he's really their tallest. He's their tallest starter
right,
for yeah. sure.
Right,
yeah. So they're going small ball almost like Houston is right. when you mm-hmm. – because Tice is their center and he's 6'8", right? Right. So
they were doing it first, Skip.
They were doing it. Yeah. They were right. doing it. When Kemba comes back, they go yeah. really small,
really,
right?
Really small, yeah.
Okay, so they're trying to do the Rockets right. method in the East. Now to the team you brought up. The Bucks don't get nearly enough credit because nobody seems yeah. to care about this team. Yeah. It seems to have no it factor. Yeah. There's nothing provocative or intriguing right. about it at
right.
all.
Right.
But it is becoming Golden State without the star power. Right. And Giannis, God bless him, he plays so hard every night, every possession, yeah. but he's Greek, so he's not from here, and right. it's kind of hard for everybody to get their arms around him.
Correct.
And he's come up small
in big moments.
Yeah. And so it's hard to get past that. It's hard to buy completely into right. his superstardom, his dominance, because we haven't seen it at a high enough level
most,
yet.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
But this team is, to your point, it's doing things that are all-time great, because just listen to this, just off the top. This is what Boston's going to be up against. The Bucks are number one in scoring in the NBA. They're number one in rebounding in the NBA, number one in defensive efficiency in the whole league, number one in pace. This is the fastest team in basketball, yep. the Bucks.
And they shoot the fourth most threes.
And they shoot the fourth most threes. They only make in percentage 14th, but they're shooting so many that they can just blow you. They can run you off the court and they can shoot you off the court.
Yep.
All at once. Their one Achilles heel is their 27th in free throw percentage. But the Lakers are 29th, so maybe it's a wash yeah. if yeah. it ever gets to that, right?
So it's going to be a lot of fouling down the stretch. Because, Skip, when you look at their defense, you look at Brooke Lopez, mm-hmm. block shots. Giannis can challenge you.
They're second in blocks.
Robin yeah. Lopez mm-hmm. can challenge you at the rim.
Yep.
Middleton plays defense. Bledsoe can get into you. So it's going to be tough.
And all of a sudden, the two white kids coming off the bench, yeah. Connor yeah. can yeah. jump out of the gym
yeah.
and
catch him body left and right.
Listen, DiVincenzo?
Yes.
What was he, Delaware's Michael Jordan or whatever? I mean, seriously, he can play. And he can leap.
And they yeah. lead in rebound, Skip, because they're so tall. You look up and Giannis got 20 rebounds. Right. I'm like, how? 18 rebounds.
And to your point about Milwaukee, they go so much under the radar. They're having a historical season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to get off topic a little bit, but when you're talking about MVP, the MVP award at the end of the year, I could see a scenario to where Milwaukee just keeps going under the radar, winning games, but take the Lakers and take LeBron. If LeBron has 2 weeks of dominance and, you know, some way, I don't say catch the Bucks in the record, but just get somewhere along there, okay. but have about 3 or 4 or 5 memorable games in the last stretch.
Maybe.
That's that last impression, that kind of sways voters.
And when Skip comes
in. I wouldn't be shocked.
Skip, remember what was the over-under? Like 51 games.
Yep.
Let's just say for the sake of argument, the Lakers win 60. Okay. 61 ball games.
Yeah. You could make a case.
Yeah.
LeBron's going to be very much in the mix.
I mean, for a while, AD was stealing votes back. Right. You know, they were going to hurt each other.
But now it's clear cut. Now there's no question.
Right. I will give you that. Chris Middleton is the most starless star I've ever seen in all my years watching basketball. Yeah. He's now made back-to-back all-star teams. He is leading this league in three-point shooting at 44%, and nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody even notices because he has no star power.
None.
And it's not just about Milwaukee, because I grew up in a city called Oklahoma City.
Right.
And when I was a kid, if you told me my city would have an NBA team, I would have laughed in your face.
Right.
It was... Oklahoma is a basketball state, but it's known for its football. There's
correct.
No way it's going to have a basketball team. But not only did it get a pro basketball team, right out of the box, it got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Oh. Three future MVPs were on the same team in my little town,
right.
Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And it put it on the map because nobody cared they were playing in little old Oklahoma City. Huh. They cared about the Thunder.
Right.
Did they not captivate?
Yeah, yes.
Did they not capture our imagination nationally?
Yeah.
And a lot of people in Oklahoma think they put the state on the map even more than the University of Oklahoma football, which you know very well.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, so it's not about Milwaukee. It's about the charisma of the team. It doesn't have much.
And I'll say it, Skip, to my point, what I made earlier, like, and it shouldn't be that way. Like, if Milwaukee is having such an outstanding year, Giannis has been dominating all throughout, and in a quiet fashion, he should get the award. But I just know how some voters are swayed the Lakers get talked about a lot. LeBron has some big marquee games on national TV.
Yeah.
Could kind of, the way. It shouldn't be that way, but that's how it is a lot of times.
You got a point.
Look at Middleton numbers, Skip, when Giannis doesn't play. Remember, he dropped that 51 piece.
Okay.
He hit the big shot against Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
Because they were nipping Bradley Beal goals bonkers.
He had a couple in overtime where I was like, what?
Yes.
And for them to suck it up and come back and win in overtime and then back-to-back,
Giannis fouled out that game against Washington, Skip.
Yeah, he did.
So it was Middleton carrying him.
Whew. That team's got basketball character.
I do.
And that coach can coach.
Who knows? Who might get coach of the year, but our old Frankie V got the coach of the year.
No, I'm going to give LeBron coach of the year.
There you go. Yep.
I am. He coaches his team.
You know.
Frankie V's a good assistant.
You said he's the one who set him out tonight, right?
Come on, Skip. Come on, Skip.
I'm out tonight. Vogel.
We criticized him early, but they've been so good. I don't think we can be hard on you.
Oh, man.
Good to have you, Chris. Always a pleasure. No mercy. Russell Westbrook and James Harden were reunited in Houston this season and have been on a hot streak, going 9-2 since switching to their new small ball lineup. The high-scoring duo was also on the latest cover of GQ in a feature story that focused on their fashion sense and their longtime friendship. Joining us now, Mark Anthony Green, who wrote the piece. So good to have you back.
Thank you for being here.
And allow me to say before we start, my friend Mark Anthony Green is becoming the GOAT of superstar interviewers. This man has a rare talent for getting the biggest stars in sports and entertainment to sit down and open up.
And I agree with all of that.
It is true.
Some more.
This man has done GQ covers on LeBron, Odell, and now Harden and Westbrook, and he was great recently coming in and telling us about his Odell bombshell piece that was a big cover story. And now we are looking forward to hearing about behind the scenes with James and Russ.
The most stylish duo in sports.
Seriously.
Yep,
and you can see that on display. It's very clear how comfortable they were with you and just learning more about their relationship. Were you surprised by how close they were on and off the court?
I wouldn't say that I was surprised. You know, I think that anytime you play with somebody as like a kid, you know, they really
grew up together.
And they also are kind of notoriously two of the most authentic, real players in the NBA. So, you know, what we try to do, we have like a crystal ball at GQ. We try to predict what is going to matter, who's going to be surging. And, you know, we had to put this cover offer in months before, you know, they actually were on the cover.
Right.
And as you see now, this is kind of the perfect time because, you know, it seems like it's really working for them. Yeah, so.
Is it, to your eyes and feel and instinct, is it legit between them? Is there a legit, deep, childhood-born connection between these two from Southern California?
100%.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll play every game for the rest of their careers together. You know, there's like, in any relationship, you know, it's like dependency, like the two of you. To see the two of you break up, nobody wants to see that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
But I think that they have a hell of a lot of love and respect for one another. And, you know, that, especially with the pressures that these guys go through, that just changes that.
Right.
And the grueling season and you know, playoffs are about to start here soon.
And it
know,
could
they're just supported.
Put pressures on this
yeah.
dynamic. But
it could. It could. Absolutely.
We talked earlier in the show about one thing that caught my eye, which was Russ immediately just blurts out to you, I tend to lose it during games.
Yeah.
He does. He got another tech last night, and he's getting in danger of getting suspended again.
Yeah.
James talked about staying in his box.
Yeah.
I'm in my box, meaning I'm just closed off from the world around me on the court. Nothing bothers me. He just
right.
seems above it all.
Right.
Almost aloof from what's happening around him. Did you sense that between the two of them, that they connect that way? Fire, ice, ice, fire?
You know what? No, not in the interview, because, you know, everyone is... It's like neutral, you know what
yeah.
I mean? It's neutral ground and you're comfortable. And, you know, we at GQ really try to make sure that if you give us the time and open up to us, that we reciprocate that with an ideal situation and, mm-hmm. and fairness. And
sure.
So no, but what I do think we're seeing on the court is how sometimes you need Russell to put his head down and to drive to the hole like you know, yeah. like
Wolf
a missile.
Feet.
You need that.
You do.
You need that for the morale of your team. You need it for the crowd. You need that. And then sometimes you need James to take 17 dribbles, step back, and hit the three. And I think that they're figuring out the pace and who should do what when. And if they can, like, you know, dial that in perfectly, I think they'll be dangerous.
They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
What... You see what Russ is like on the floor, on the court. You see what he's like. You see what James is like on the court. What are they really like when you're just sitting down and you just, you know, you got water, you're just shooting
yeah.
around and you're just bouncing questions off them?
The same. You know, I think that James Harden, if James Harden was a janitor, he'd be the coolest janitor you ever met. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just how he carries himself.
Right.
And both of them from L.A. And you know, L.A. guys just have, like, a very smooth demeanor.
Right.
And I think if Russell was a janitor, I think he'd be the most intense janitor. You'd have the cleanest floor
yeah.
on the planet. You know what I mean? And so, again, it's one of those things I think, you know, it's another thing that we look for in who we put on our covers.
Right.
We want to focus on the most authentic, real, interesting, you know, culture affecting people. And I think that's really who those two guys are. And you can see in the clothes, I mean, that's one of the most fearless photo shoots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, from like not even just athletes, like fearless, and there was nothing, they weren't afraid of anything.
Mm. And fashion is so important to them. I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of the piece. How in the fashion world, they're not known as these stars. No one really cares about them in that sense. They have to make their own identity in the fashion world, and that was really unique to me.
And we see it. I mean, you know, our editor-in-chief, Will Welsh, when we're in Paris, he's the editor-in-chief of GQ.
Yeah.
He, at some of these dinners...
Yeah,
he's the big dog. Wow. Like, in some of these rooms. And I really commend them. And you gotta take your hat off to Russell, because Russell was really doing it. Before a lot of these guys,
right.
they're going into these rooms and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you're in Paris, people don't know who you are, they don't know what sports you play. Mm-hmm. You know, the fashion world can sometimes be kind of snooty. I'm sure that
right.
won't be a surprise to anybody. And because of their true love for it, and James also really is
right.
very, very serious about it. And I think that they both will, you know, during their careers and after the careers, have a real imprint and a foothold in the fashion world. Right. But they put themselves out there. And, you know, I have so much respect for them. And it felt like this cover was a way to really celebrate that.
But isn't it like that with anything when you see a rapper try to act? Actors give you pushback.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah,
or
you see
an actor, you see an actor trying to rap, you get pushback. So naturally so. But if also if you look at it, Skip, you look at Anta Wintour. Nobody cares the weight she carries.
Anna Wintour is the
Now you're talking about the GOAT.
No, that's the GOAT. Yeah. That's the real GOAT.
So, but you have to
We wear her sneakers.
Exactly right. So in other words, you know, reading the article, it's like Russ, like, you have to go and you have to show up to a lot of these shows. And after they see you time and time again, they're like, oh, you serious? You just pop on the stage one time and talk about, I want to do this. I'm like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
So Russ was like, I had to do this over and over and go in the room, reintroduce myself. Mm-hmm. I'm Russell Westbrook. I play NBA, yada, yada, yada. James says, I got to reintroduce myself. You're like, you don't know who I am? They're like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I respect, I mean, again, what you're saying is absolutely right, but there are a lot of guys. You're a multimillionaire.
Right.
You know, whenever you are in these other rooms, people cater to you.
Yes.
You don't have to be uncomfortable.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, and so I think they take it really seriously. And, you know, especially in this new era, GQ, where we're really kind of doubling down on fashion and its importance, it felt like we needed to get them in the mix as soon as possible.
So just in your eyes, cooler dresser. Russ, James.
Cooler?
Yeah.
This is, I'm going to give you a real answer, but I want to qualify real quick. So there's a difference between style and fashion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Fashion is the art of getting dressed.
Right.
Right? Style, like Tom Brady's stylish.
Okay.
Right? Anybody could go to Tom Ford.
Yeah.
You're going to leave looking stylish.
Pick that off the mannequins.
Yeah. You're going to look good, right? Right. So I think that Russell, to me, more so than anybody in the NBA, he is the most fashionable.
Okay.
He, like, wakes up and it's, like, it's art when he's trying to do it.
Right. You got to be willing to take risks.
I was going
to
say,
100%.
Fearlessly fashionable.
Yes. You got to take risks to be fashionable.
But I will, so Russell's the answer, but when it comes to fearlessness, there's something about James Harden, what is he, 6'7"?
Six five.
He's a tall 6'5".
Yeah.
Tall 6'5", short 6'7". And some of the things he wears for a guy that size, I mean, again, fearless. Yeah. You know, he dresses the way he plays. He doesn't, you know, he does not care.
And you ask him a good question. Do you ever wear something that's way out there and then you lose badly and you have to go to the post game wearing that? Do you ever
think about that?
And they said, no.
That was the fastest answer. They were like, regret it.
Yeah.
Why would I look great? Again, that's what we love that.
Yeah.
You know, we absolutely love that. But I personally, you know, if I had a bad day, I'd be like, yeah, I wish I were.
Yeah.
I wish I chilled it out.
But that's what it's about, is that when you put on something, you can't think about it. If you're constantly doing this and doing all that, you're having second thoughts. You put on something and go. And it seems like to me, obviously, they put a lot of thought in what they're going to wear. Mm-hmm. But once they put it on, it doesn't even cross their mind. Like, because some of the things, like, no, I can't do that, bro.
Bottom line, gut feeling from you after all the time you spent around them speaking and watching this shoot.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody out there, over the last 5 years in the NBA, these are the two most ball-dominant players in tandem we've ever seen. They have gone back and forth leading this league in usage rate. They have gone back and forth in winning scoring titles and MVPs.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's almost preposterous that they would join forces because it won't work.
Right.
There's just one basketball. So gut feeling when the real games start and the pressure mounts and they have one of those Rockets games where the ball isn't falling from three for whatever reason, can they continue to coexist and sacrifice for the one thing neither has, which is a title, right?
Russell Westbrook, James Harden 5 years ago, no. Russell Westbrook, James Harden now, seasoned veterans, guys that realize that they want championship, that they need championship.
They need. Yes.
Again, they have matured in a lot of ways. And I think time will tell, But I think that in that maturity, sometimes somebody's going to have to give the ball up.
They are.
And I don't think that they would have been able to do that without, you know, growing and also having some really disappointing seasons and some, like, heartbreaking losses where they felt like
they're...
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that has made them... It's kind of the perfect storm. And, again, we'll see. Only time will tell. But do I think it's possible? Yes.
I agree. Because they both realize that their careers are ultimately going to be defined by championships.
Yeah.
I don't believe Kevin Durant would have joined the team early in the beginning. He would have gone to Golden State.
Yeah.
But because the criticism that was mounting, because he didn't have one.
True.
He did what he did.
Yeah.
So these guys know ultimately, I led the league three straight years, Skip, I averaged a triple-double. James Harden is putting up historic offensive numbers.
Right.
But without a title, they're going to be, they were great, but.
But see, I feel like once it's kind of like, all right, if I have to check these 10 boxes for me to be a Hall of Famer, I have the career I want to have.
Oh, they're going
to
be Hall of Famers.
They're Hall of Famers. Yeah. But I'm saying if you check 9 out of the 10, it doesn't matter what order you check them in. If you wanted to average a triple-double, which is crazy, and no one thought, you know, we were like, no, we'll never see somebody actually do that. And he did it multiple times.
But they, and
okay,
but
you know, so you've done it.
Sports, the top, he knows the top gotta be
box
championship.
Says championship.
But that's the only thing left. Yeah, and so I'm saying, yes. I don't knock them for what order they did it in, as long as they were doing it.
Right, oh, yeah.
There are some players where we won't say any names, but it's almost as if they take seasons off. You know, they didn't break any record. We weren't really talking about them. The team didn't really do anything. They lost in the first round. That you can't say that for these guys. Every year, they contribute something special. And so...
Well, Russ hadn't been at the first round in a minute, though.
Yep.
He hasn't, but averaging a triple-double is something that I don't, you know...
He did it three in a row.
That's... at that point, you gotta just... I can't knock him for that. Yeah.
Hey, great piece.
Man, thank you, guys.
Well done. Yeah.
Keep up the good work here.
Appreciate it.
The timing of the piece, perfect as well.
That's what we do. We have a crystal ball at GQ.
You knew.
We won't share.
Make sure to check out the piece on GQ.
I don't think I'll pull that jean outfit off, though, bro.
This was inspired by y'all.
Jean jacket, denim jacket, denim shirt, denim pants.
Yeah. The hat?
Maybe try it out tomorrow.
Maybe the hat. I'll make it rock the hat.
Next time I come back,
we'll do it. I'll make it rock the hat. I would work for you. Any day I can talk about sports and fashion, that's a good thing. Thank you, man, for being here. We appreciate it. No mercy. Well, Joe Burrow seems to be the consensus number one pick. Alabama QB Tua Tagovailoa is closing the gap between him and the Heisman winner. One anonymous NFC coach said that if Tua hadn't hurt his hip, scouts would be split like they were in 2012 with Andrew Luck and RG3. The scout continued to praise Tua, saying, quote, "I don't think it's crazy to say that he could be the next Russell Wilson." So, Shannon, how high would you take Tua?
Skip, the only concerns that I would have is the medicals. And it seems like his medical coming back from the combine is clean.
That's what I'm reading.
The hip is fine. Yeah. I've always said I thought Tua was better because I felt he's done it longer. Skip, you look at it, he stepped in as a true freshman, wins the national title game, coming in at the half of Jalen Hurts. The next year, he puts up unbelievable number. Yeah, he loses in the title game. And this past season, he was off to a better year his junior year than he was having his sophomore season.
Yep.
33-3. That's what his numbers are. And I agree with the scout that said that had he not gotten hurt, it would have been very, very interesting who Cincinnati would have taken. Mm-hmm. Skip, I would take him over Joe Burrow because I believe he's done it longer. I'm always leery. I believe Joe Burrow had the greatest season ever for a college quarterback ever in the history of the game in college football, Skip, but it was one season. And I'm always leery. Now, that you know, Cam had the one great season, and it turned out great for Cam. Took a team to the Super Bowl, won the league's MVP. But more times than not, you get a more Keeley Smiths, you get more Jory Harringtons than you get Cam Newton.
By the way, Cam did have a national championship in junior
college. But when guys, Skip, when guys just have this great season, because you remember, Skip, Joe Burrow, his junior year at LSU, it wasn't good. Hmm. And then they get a new –
it wasn't awful, but it wasn't
anywhere near 18 or 15, like that. Mm-hmm. So, for me, Skip, I love Tua. The way the ball comes out of his hand, does he have Patrick Mahomes' arm, his accuracy, his anticipation, and that's – Skip, those are the two most important things that people don't understand. They think,
Well, you need to be able to throw the ball 100 yards. How many times during the course of the game you going to launch the ball 65, 70 yards, Skip? It's not very often. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to have great accuracy and tremendous anticipation. Mm-hmm. Because in the NFL, you throw guys open. Mm-hmm. You don't wait until they get open. You wait until a guy get open in the NFL, it's a pick six going back the other way.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would take, Skip, for me, I like Tua better than Burrow. I would take him. If I'm the Dolphins, I feel real good where I am because I kept bringing Ryan Fitzpatrick back. I can sit him and make sure that hip is 1,000% healthy. Skip, I believe he's. You hate to say can't miss because you can miss, but I like Tua. Love Tua.
Why shouldn't the Bengals take him?
They. I think the thing is for them, the reason why they won't take him, Skip, is because they don't have a veteran guy that can redshirt him. Because if you look at the guys the last couple of years that redshirted, Skip, they did pretty good.
Yep.
they did. Look at Lamar. Look at my homeboy. They did pretty good redshirting. So
Lamar gave up his redshirt
halfway through the season. Yep. But for me, Skip, I love Tua. I would take Tua over Joe Burrow.
If you're talking about deadly accurate, I give you Tua. If you're talking about lightning release, I'll give you Tua. But after that, I just can't buy the way I can buy Joe Burrow off last year. And I got it. It's 1 year. It's just simply the greatest year ever. And I thought Baker Mayfield had the greatest year ever 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Kyler had the greatest year ever 1 year ago.
Yep. Nothing compared to this. This is
preposterous. This is in those last three games he played, the SEC and then OU and the national championship.
Sure.
You know, he completes 70% with 16 touchdowns to zero interceptions. He runs for two touchdowns, and his QBR for three games is 98. Well, you just can't do better.
No.
Right?
It is.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And he just kept doing it all year, and we don't have time to go through all the just gaudy numbers that he put up. Did he have three really good receivers? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Did he have a Joe Brady who came from the Saints and changed his life with the new offense? You better believe he did. Did Tua have four receivers who could wind up going in the first round?
Yeah.
They could.
Yeah.
Right?
Devontae Smith went back, though.
He'll
be a first rounder next year.
No, but I'm saying, and Waddle looks like he, I don't know, first or second maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So you could have three firsts and a second. It's outrageous track speed that he was throwing to. And then back to your medicals, it's so much to overcome.
It is hard to overlook it, Skip.
The hip was serious. It was career
threatening. Hip is the most serious, but...
But he had ankle surgery on both ankles, and it's that dangerous sort of tightrope surgery, mm-hmm. which is it's risky.
Right.
And I guess it worked. I hope it worked for his sake. He broke the index finger on his throwing hand. It's not awful, but it's just another indication of brittle. Mm-hmm. It's just, and then remember, it looked like the most serious injury was when he was trying to play through a knee injury. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the scope of it or the issue. Will it be ongoing?
Right.
Maybe. That's a lot of medical right there. And then I look back at some of his biggest games. He was not great in it. And I question, does he have that backbone? Is he that guy under big game fire? Is he made of the toughest stuff? I'm not sure about that because in the 2018 SEC championship game against Georgia, again, was he struggling with it? I don't even know what it was, his knee or
I think
his ankle?
It was his knee, that one.
I think it was his knee, but he was horrible.
Yep.
And finally, Nick did the reverse and he yanked him and put Jalen Hurts back in and he saved the day,
right?
And then against Clemson in the 2018 national championship game, he put up fair numbers, but he threw two big interceptions, and they got blown out.
Pick six is one of his first throws.
I got it.
And that was the thing, Skip. When you look at it, you look at all the games he played, he's really played, had two bad games, the SEC championship game and the Clemson game. Other than that, because even though they lost to LSU, Skip, he was unbelievable.
He threw for 418 and four touchdowns, but he threw a lot of bad passes in the game because his QBR for college, because they're always way up, but it was 73. So Joe Burrow just flat out outplayed him in his house, right? It was at Tuscaloosa.
Right.
And then I start going down Joe Burrow. And remember, it started at Texas on a big Saturday night national TV game.
Yeah.
And then here it went. Florida and at Alabama. And then it got to the point where he wasn't ever missing a throw. Mm-mm. He played three straight huge games. And not one time did I say, oh, he misfired on that throw, right?
Yeah.
And listen, when they say, you know, comparing him to Russell Wilson, too, because he's got great feet.
Right.
Listen, Joe Burrow at 6'4", was an All-State basketball player. He gets loose and runs for first downs. I like it.
Ask Clemson.
Yeah.
Ask Alabama.
Right.
Don't remember.
Can he run?
Yeah. Can he run? Yeah, he can run. And he's got some gumption about it.
Yeah.
I first noticed him when he was at Texas, and they're just blowing him off their own field, and he's turning the stands, pointing at people.
Well, okay, even the tweet the other day with the hand size.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to announce my retirement. He is not afraid to have an opinion and voice it, and he's got the confidence.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.